Friday morning, the 22nd of May, 2026. Quiet on the corporate front compared to yesterday's S1 filing avalanche. But the day reads dense in a different way. I've got four pieces this morning that, taken together, mark a particular kind of milestone in the year. They're about what the models are actually starting to do, and about how the industry's posture around that is rearranging itself in real time. Let me get into them. First up, the announcement that has the mathematics community buzzing in a way I haven't seen in quite a while. OpenAI is circulating a 125-page mathematical write-up, claiming that one of its unreleased successor models, widely speculated to be a member of the GPT 5.6 or GPT Next line, produced a constructive disproof of the Erdos planar unit distance problem. That problem, posed by Paul Erdos in 1946, asks for the maximum number of unit distance pairs realizable by n points in the plane. For 80 years, it has been the textbook open problem in combinatorial geometry, and the conjectured tight bound has resisted serious attempts from generations of mathematicians. OpenAI's claim is that the model produced a specific point configuration whose pair count exceeds the conjectured ceiling. A counterexample, in other words, that disproves the bound rather than merely tightening it. The two numbers that are doing most of the work in this story are the wall clock time and the dollar figure, under 32 hours of compute and under $1,000 of spend. To put that in perspective, that is roughly the same order of magnitude as a single graduate student's monthly stipend, and comparable to what a strong human collaborator might invest in a deep dive on a hard problem. The write-up highlights what it calls a page 39 moment, a specific point in the model's scratch pad where the central inductive construction emerges, and the community is currently cross-checking that page, line by line. Methodologically, this is what makes the result different from the 2025 International Mathematical Olympiad. Gold medal result, that earlier system, AlphaProof, ran on a lean-based formal proof harness with extensive domain-specific tooling. The Erdos disproof, by contrast, is being credited to a general-purpose chat model with extended reasoning, no theorem prover in the loop, and nothing beyond a Python sandbox for combinatorial enumeration. If this holds up under independent verification, and OpenAI is explicitly trying to position this differently from prior overclaim cycles by publishing the full construction up front, it would be the first time a general-purpose frontier language model has produced a genuinely novel result on an open problem that competent specialists had spent decades on without dislodging. I'm being cautious because combinatorial counterexamples have a long history of subtle parity errors that survive several reads before being caught, and OpenAI specifically has a track record of math benchmark results that turned out to depend on training corpus leakage. The community will look hard at whether the construction generalizes to held-out variants of the unit distance problem. Terence Tao's response, when it lands, will be the closest thing to a verdict the field has. Moving on to our second story, a piece in MIT Technology Review on Anthropic's two-day code with Claude developer event in London, which kicked off on Monday opposite Google's I/O conference in Palo Alto. The piece lands on a single data point that crystallizes a broader shift when an Anthropic engineer asked the packed room how many people had shipped a pull request in the last week that was written entirely by Claude. Roughly half the attendees raised their hands. That number matters more than it might first appear. The event was a paid developer conference. The room was full of professional engineers who already use Claude Code as their primary tool. So the half the room statistic is not a claim about industry-wide adoption, but it is a leading indicator of where the most engaged users have moved. The event's substantive content reflected the same shift. There were no major model announcements. Claude Opus 4.7 was already shipped. Instead, the talk centered on workflow patterns, sub-agent delegation, hook-based safety gates, model context protocol server design, and the operational question of how to do meaningful code review when half the diffs in a given week were not authored by a human. The tech review piece pulls together adjacent signals that have been accumulating across the quarter. OpenAI's first quarter revenue trajectory which we'll come back to in a moment, is heavily driven by its Codex coding agent. The Artificial Analysis Coding Agent Index, which evaluates end-to-end software engineering performance across SWE Bench Pro, Terminal Bench V2, and related harnesses, has Claude Code at the top and Cursor's Composer 2.5 in third, at 10 to 60 times lower cost than the leading entries. Anthropic's own internal usage, where Claude Code now accounts for a large fraction of merged pull requests across its engineering organization, is being held up as the proof of concept that the rest of the industry is being asked to underwrite. The conference's framing was, "This is normal now." The piece does not draw triumphalist conclusions. It ends on the open question that everyone in the room was implicitly wrestling with. What mid-career engineers actually do in a world where the autocomplete writes the function body, the agent writes the test, and the review is the only human author moment in the loop. Third, up a coordinated release from Microsoft Research that I want to spend some time on because it argues something against the prevailing assumption in the agent space. Microsoft put out three artifacts in one bundle: Magentic Lite, the next generation of their Magentic UI application, redesigned to work across the browser and the local file system in a single workflow; Magentic Brain, an orchestration model that handles task decomposition, planning, and delegation across sub-agents and tools; and Farah 1.5, the next iteration of Farah specialized for computer use. Denise web navigation, element grounding, form filling, and screenshot conditioned action prediction. The positional bet that Microsoft is making here is that the agentic experience for desktop and consumer scenarios is not going to be solved by simply scaling the underlying model. Instead, it will be solved by scaffolding that is co-designed with a smaller model's failure modes. Forced replanning on uncertainty, structured sub-goal handoffs, and explicit memory rather than long context attention. The orchestration model and the computer use model and the harness are released together, co-designed for each other, rather than swapped in independently. Farah 1.5 reportedly delivers measurable gains over the previous Farah generation on grounded web task benchmarks, and the orchestration layer's contribution shows up as reduced wall clock latency and lower per task token cost. Passé, the route is to use Farah for tactical browser steps and reserve the larger Magentic Brain for replanning. This release matters because it shows up at the same time as Perplexity's personal computer rollout to all Mac users and Anthropic's continued push on computer use. It reframes the small model agentic stack as a competitive offering rather than a research curiosity. The open questions are how Farah 1.5 compares against equivalently sized open weights computer use models, and whether Magentic Brain's orchestration policy is portable to non-Farah backends. The license terms will determine whether this becomes a reference architecture or stays internal to the Magentic UI product line. And for our fourth and final story today, a financial disclosure that frames where the Frontier Lab competition actually stands at the close of the first quarter. The information reports that OpenAI generated approximately $5.7 billion in revenue during the first quarter of 2026, roughly $1 billion ahead of Anthropic over the same period. The growth drivers cited are three: Codex, which is the coding agent product line built on the GPT-5 family; continued enterprise penetration via OpenAI for Business and Enterprise; and the recently expanded ad testing surface inside ChatGPT, the last being a notable shift given OpenAI's previous public framing of ChatGPT as ad-free. The reporting flags that Anthropic appears to have closed and possibly leapfrogged the first quarter gap during the second quarter, with the recently disclosed KPMG deployment to a workforce of 276,000 and several other large enterprise integrations expected to widen the comparison the other way. The infrastructure subplot here is its own story. The information separately reported today that Anthropic is in active talks to rent servers powered by Microsoft's in-house designed artificial intelligence chips, a meaningful diversification away from Anthropic's largely NVIDIA-dominated stack, and a meaningful first customer for Microsoft's Maya chip program, which has lagged Google's Tensor processing unit and Amazon's Trainium rollouts. The IPO subtext is the second story embedded in the same news cycle. In a separate information briefing, Sam Altman told staff in a company-wide meeting on Wednesday that filing initial public offering paperwork is meaningfully different from actually listing, and that even after filing, the company would not necessarily go public immediately. The framing suggests OpenAI is positioning to file in the September window, while keeping the option to delay the actual debut by quarters, depending on market conditions. The competitive geometry around this is sharp. SpaceX dropped its long-anticipated S-1 filing the day before OpenAI's IPO timing chatter leaked. Anthropic is reportedly preparing for an offering of its own. The information's framing, a trio of trillion-dollar IPOs in the same pipeline, captures it neatly. What I find most interesting in the revenue mix is not the headline number, but what the line items tell us. $5.7 billion at a first quarter run rate implies roughly $23 billion annualized if growth holds flat, which would put OpenAI ahead of any prior Frontier Lab projection for the year. The Codex contribution is the most strategically interesting line item because it is the wedge product justifying the per-seat enterprise pricing model. If second quarter numbers show Codex continuing to disproportionately drive growth, the implication is that the coding agent market, not consumer ChatGPT, is the durable revenue base. Ads showing up on ChatGPT in the same accounting period is the other meaningful signal. It is a directional retreat from prior policy commitments, and one that Anthropic explicitly used as differentiation when it published its essay on Claude as a space to think earlier this year. Taken together, the four stories I walked through this morning trace a single arc. The frontier models are starting to do real work on open mathematical problems. The coding agent workflow has crossed a daily use threshold inside the most engaged developer cohort. The small model agentic stack is being legitimized as a competitive surface, not a research toy, and the revenue side of all of it is now visible enough that IPO filings are queued up for the next several quarters. If you want the full digest with another 30-some items, covering everything from the Erdos verification status to the rest of today's federal AI news, you'll find it at wolfdigest.com. I'll be back tomorrow with whatever lands overnight. Until then, take care and keep reading papers.